Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Warner Brothers is spending millions to bring millionaire Bruce Wayne and his alter ego to life. Is this a gamble for the studio? Will Batman pay off? Will there be bat hysteria?
This is Showbiz Today, live Tuesday, February 28th, 1989.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, Tommy, and rounding out the trio, a man who recently published a new premium episode of ours to Bandcamp.
Yeah, that's... One of my biggest achievements, to be honest. Thank you for saying it.
One of your biggest recent achievements.
Like bringing someone out at like an award show or whatever. Like, you might know this, man.
Yeah.
Rounding out the trio, which my brain took to be a fat joke and then had to tell itself, calm down, brain. It's just a turn of phrase. Turn? What's that meant to mean? Are you saying when I turn around, a truck beeping noise happens? Anyway.
Wow, that's all funnier than what I was going for.
The premium episode that's up. We are all, you make it sound like it's an Adam solo endeavor.
Well, I just said that he published it.
He hit the button.
I had to fucking abide by Bandcamp's stupid rules
of
600 megabyte maximum, but it's got to be lossless. Yep. We need ultimate quality, but only a moment.
Yeah.
But it's all split up and available there in little parts that you can listen through as one beautiful journey. It's about the classic Disney games, which you might think, listen, I'm going to give a pitch here from the perspective of someone who doesn't want to listen to it.
Okay.
I've never played a Disney game. I've never fucking given a shit about them, but it's fun to hear about them because there's a lot more history there and a lot more interesting stuff there than you might imagine. Yeah. And we tried to put a little bit of showbiz pizzazz on it.
Yes.
I think it's a good one.
I think it's a great one. I haven't listened to it, but I was there for it.
Well, yeah, because the history of Disney games, it does very interestingly. There is this like fascinating period of them that is kind of just a bizarre time in the world of licensed games as a whole. Mm. So we get really into that.
Yeah.
We talk about
and they chart the course of how licensed games changed over time.
Yeah.
So that broader conversation is real interesting.
And also just the Disney company as a whole. We get into that a fair bit. And well, I mean, I said it's not a solo Adam endeavor, but it kind of is in a way because you went into the lab and you cooked
got
up
out
some
the beakers and I was like, listen, Muppet, help me out.
Cooked up some little musical interludes that I've seen people on our socials singing the praises.
They're raving about.
Yeah. They're only short.
The critics are raving about Adam Knox's new release.
I've been standing outside Bandcamp with a video camera, just getting exit interviews with people.
Do you know there's one person in Australia who works at Bandcamp in all of Australia?
Really?
There's one Bandcamp employee, and I know him. I've known him for years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a coincidence. So I found this out the other day. I didn't realize that's where he worked.
And that's how you've been embezzling all of that.
I'm going to send him an email to be like, stop sending us email every time.
So what, he's just presumably working from home, just every now and then on the phone to the States being like, can I get like just one more guy in here, please? I'm so lonely.
I think they're mostly based in Europe somewhere. I think it's like a Swedish company or something. Okay. I can't remember. Maybe Finnish. I can't remember. But
he's just playing like table tennis, but with half the table folded up against the wall.
Not to dox anybody, but here's his exact address. But no, they like him and a bunch of people moved into like a new building that was being built.
Right,
and like him and a bunch of friends were like, hey, let's all buy apartments in this building at the same time.
That's cool.
And maybe we can get them to do a discount. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. But then, his job being the only person in the country who is working for this company relies on internet.
Yes.
New building. Apparently it does not work.
Oh,
no.
Anyway.
That would be awesome if he was just like, man, I work at one of those awesome offices where it's like there's a fridge with beers in it. There's an Xbox.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that works at Bandcamp.
There's
and
half
I work
a
from
ping
home.
Pong table. It's always done that thing where one half's lifted up.
He could have a little slippery slide in his apartment just to recreate the Google experience.
Exactly.
touch himself. But how most of those companies end up going.
Just snuck it in there.
Yeah.
Touch himself.
If working from home and touching yourself is a Google requisite, then I'm overqualified.
And then baby, call me the Google Doodle.
Anyway, the point is you can go to filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com. Mm. You can get that Disney one, and it's like $1 Australian or more if you want to support the show a little bit there.
And there's like, 15, 16 other ones? No idea, actually.
I think it's 20-something.
Right.
Yeah. We've been doing them for ages. So the whole catalogue is on there. Or if you would like to sign up to our Patreon on the $10 tier, you'd get access to all of them, plus the bonus episodes that we do every goddamn week.
Yes. And you get those Bandcamp ones a week early when they come out.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell you what.
I tell you what.
No, I had a good one.
No, it's on the same topic. If you sign up for the Patreon, I have a sneaking suspicion that next week's bonus episode is going to have some very interesting stories to be told.
Yeah.
We haven't recorded it yet, so maybe they'll fall flat.
Yeah. We haven't recorded it, and we just burnt most of them off air. But I think once we try and recreate the magic in 4 days' time, it's going to be really good.
I'll have forgotten.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a terrible memory.
And so will I, unfortunately. Yeah. So, Tommy, it's all on you.
Oh, but hell yeah.
We had a fun outing. And a lot of interesting characters popped up along the way.
Well, you can get that and you can get things a week early. Speaking of a week early, you know what else you could have gotten a week early 1 week ago?
Oh, yeah.
Well, 6 days ago today. The Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 campaign.
Okay.
They did a thing. This is new for them. And it's like the early access pre-order and you can play it 4 days early, whatever thing's been going on for a while.
Yes.
The new Call of Duty did a thing where if you had the game pre-ordered, it comes out the rest of it tomorrow, the 28th of October.
Mm-hmm.
But you could play just the campaign a week early. So I did that. And it's one of the dumbest pieces of shit I've ever played. I had fun. Let me be clear again. So you guys have not...
Let me be frank.
I'm the Call of Duty guy here. Speaking directly to camera in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of you played Modern Warfare 2019.
No.
I've never interacted with a single Call of Duty game ever in my life.
What about the old Modern Warfare games back in like the late 2000s?
Yeah.
You played them?
Yep.
Okay. Modern Warfare 2 was like one of the biggest hyped up huge releases of all time at that time. It was massive.
Because Modern Warfare 1 had been just like genre changing, basically.
It was enormous.
Yeah.
And Modern Warfare 2 was, I think, a decent follow-up. A lot of people felt it didn't quite measure up to the first one. Mm. I certainly didn't feel that, but it was a fun, bombastic, ridiculous campaign.
Reggae fantastic?
I wouldn't say that, but I would definitely try and find someone who could say that and get them to say that because I agree.
Yeah.
Just imagining an IGN review where they're like, Modern Warfare 2 is bombastic. In fact, it's reggae fantastic.
Hey, there were plenty of other culturally inappropriate things that were said about it and included in it.
Yeah, fair.
It was like this. It's where it got a bit more comic booky because obviously Modern Warfare 1, Call of Duty 4 was like, and all the Call of Duty games are over the top. Part of the thing is their spectacle and their big, ridiculous set pieces. Their like silly, intense stories with these sort of larger than life characters in kind of real military situations.
Yeah,
and 2009 Modern Warfare 2 was where like one of your teammates always wears this skull mask and like the general of the army betrays you in like a slow motion thing.
It's like if Michael Bay made a video game.
So this is like if Michael Bay made a video game after a head injury.
Right.
It is one of the stupidest, worst written things. And I looked up the writer because I was like, what's going on here? And looked into this more. The writer is this guy who used to be a cop and has written a bunch of shit.
Okay.
Has written like TV shows, has
David
won
Simon?
Awards for it. David Simon.
It's not The Wire's David Simon.
He's a writer who used to be a cop.
I know.
I'll look up his name again. I should have done this already.
The only one.
But he wrote Infinite Warfare.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the sort of space one with Kit Harington in it.
Yeah.
Which I also did not like the story of.
Mm.
And look, there is an argument to be made that a Call of Duty game story is one of the least important things in the world.
In the world?
Like, honestly, because you might say like, oh, an ant, but ants are important to the ecosystem.
I would never say an ant.
Who would say an ant?
I would never say.
I don't know, someone who doesn't like ants.
I'd say
well, that, okay, that no, cricket mean, from A Bug's Life would
sure.
say ants.
Mm. You mean someone like one singular ant, not ants as
an
a whole.
Ant.
One ant. Yeah. Yeah, we can lose one ant.
We can lose one ant.
Yeah.
You're more likely to have a bet, like, it's better for the world if you lose the story for Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, okay, true. Right. That's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I can't find this guy's name, but whatever he is.
David
Jesse
Simon.
Stern wrote the old one. It's not that guy, but it's some guy.
Is he related to Daniel Stern?
I have no idea about Jesse Stern, who wrote the 2009 Modern Warfare 2.
Because Daniel Stern's a good actor.
From Bushwhacked?
The very same.
Whatever it is, this guy has written a story with more holes in it than...
Here we go.
A 2007 DVD shop in the new just turned weekly section.
What is this game, a colander?
Holes. The film Holes. What is this game, a colander works?
Oh, I thought when you said... Why have I got a hankering for Swiss cheese all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's
that has holes
that's
in
one
it.
One of them.
Sorry, I jumped in because when you were saying
what
a DVD shop...
What is this, my
shop?
Underwear?
Yeah. When you were saying DVD shop, I didn't think you were going to refer to a specific DVD. I just thought you were talking generally about the fact that every DVD
Me
has
too.
A hole in the middle.
Me well, too.
Right, right.
That's exactly what I thought.
Picking up the DVD
that's
for holes.
That's fucking crazy.
Picking up the DVD for holes and it says holes and then there's an actual little hole.
Yeah.
It should just have like an S next to the hole.
Well, or it should just, the movie should just be called Hole. Because there is only one hole in the
That's
DVD.
True.
So he, like, he was an actor. He wrote Once Upon a Time in America. I mean, he was in Once Upon a Time in America.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
As an actor. He's been in a bunch of shit. He's like a voice actor in a bunch of movies, movies and games and stuff.
This is the guy who wrote it.
This is the guy who wrote it.
Okay.
Also writer of Modern Warfare 2. He also was one of the writers of Modern Warfare. Whatever it was. Because the first one, I'm running around in circles here, but the first one was fine. The
right.
story was kind of interesting. And I felt like it was like this kind of return to form thing almost. Of like they'd gotten sillier and sillier and I'd liked them less and less, the campaigns. And then the 2019 one was pretty fun and a bit silly still, but also like a bit reined in.
Yep.
Right.
This is just makes no fucking sense. There's so many things that happen where, like, I won't give away the story of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2
okay.
for anybody, but, like, there are things that happen where the characters commit full-on war crimes and then later on they're like, oh, no, this other character is committing a full-on war crime. Mm. But it's not done as though it's like a commentary
right.
on,
right.
you know, oh, America doesn't understand that it's the instigator sometime or whatever.
Right.
It's done to further this stupid story that completely takes you out of this campaign that is being driven hugely by the story. There are more cutscenes in this than the average Call of Duty.
Yeah, right.
It's really focusing on these characters. So
they've turned it into a JRPG. It's hours and hours.
Yeah, you have to go to school every day and build up your social links with Price, and he's like, oh, how you going? Like, it's the fact that it puts the story more at the forefront is why me giving this one less of a pass than plenty of the other stupid Call of Duties is happening. Because,
right.
like...
Well, I thought... Because Black Ops 3?
In 2015. There was Black Ops Cold War recently.
Cold War.
Yeah.
So Cold War, that was...
Which was Black Ops 5.
Black Ops 5.
Call of Duty 18.
Yeah. And that was between the Modern Warfare 1 remake and this one, right?
Yes. There was. It was like the Modern Warfare... Black Ops, they did that World War II one last year. Vanguard, and now this one.
I thought the Cold War story and cinematics and characters were good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Like, they're all Fast and the Furious movies.
Yes.
Like, you've got to lop a little part of your cerebellum off to enjoy them, but it is enjoyable in that way. They're popcorn-y.
Mm.
And this one, the popcorn's got no dick in it. It's that unenjoyable.
Oh, no.
That's how unenjoyable this popcorn is.
I don't want to reach for that at all.
No.
Taking the box of popcorn back to the candy stand midway through the movie and being like, I'm terribly sorry.
Sorry, I was led to believe.
There's no hole.
It's just like, it's because the annoying thing about it is that I like some of the way that they've done some of these characters.
Mm.
There's like a new one called Alejandro who is like pretty well acted and like I like his thing.
Lady Gaga's friend.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Is that what that song is called?
Alejandro. Yeah.
Are you sure his name's not Bad Romance? It is just like it's taking you to these beautiful locations and getting you to do things that are often fun.
Mm.
And in the back of your head, you're like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right.
Like, there's a bit where there's like, in the original Modern Warfare 2, there was like a, you know, a heel turn,
mm-hmm.
a betrayal. And the way that a similar thing happens in this is so out of like, so unjustified.
Right.
Not even like a, haha, I was evil all along, but like a weird disagreement takes place that cannot be resolved by anything other than slaughtering a nearby village.
Right.
It makes no fucking sense at all.
Clearly.
I wish I could talk about the specifics of it to give you an understanding of how ridiculous it is.
Maybe we could do a sealed section at the end where you just go all.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm not going to play it. I'd love to hear this.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe let's get to the end of the app and then yeah, do you want to do a back end sealed section?
Yeah, sure. Because it's dumb as hell. And it's annoying because I like some of the ideas it's doing. It's trying to change up what you do in like a Call of Duty campaign. For the major criticism of most of those that I have had as well is that you go through them and it is like a hallway. It's a corridor.
Yeah, right.
You're doing the same thing again and again. You're shooting these guys. And there's some of that in this. But you've got enough of those sort of Call of Duty set PC things to make it enjoyable. Then there's a couple of levels where you're doing this almost like survival and crafting thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it's partly in there to teach you about it for like Warzone and all those things.
Oh, yeah.
You do that for Call of Duty now.
Yep.
But it doesn't really work very well in this particular context. And it's a bit of it feels more like jamming the brakes on than giving you a fresh new thing to do in the middle of it. It's also weirdly buggy. In parts, like, that isn't common for these games, but there's a lot of stuff in there that is, like, quite... It feels like it was pushed out the door.
Right.
Mm. Obviously, this is one that's coming out post-COVID and everything, and video games are in a weird spot now, so I'm not super, like, inclined to be critical too heavily of that, but it is there.
Mm.
Still looks good. The lighting and stuff is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Those games look like it is daytime when it's daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nighttime when it's nighttime. It's night vision time when it's night vision time.
It's a lot of that.
There's a fair bit of it in this. Clearly that one bit from like that first Modern Warfare where they went through the apartment building,
yep.
like clearing it out. They were like, that was pretty fucking good, huh? And they're like, let's do that six times.
Yeah.
But it works. And like the spectacle is there when it's there. It's just a shame that they're putting this kind of more comic booky story on top of it and more character focused and like unrealistic stuff that could be fun is so poorly delivered and so without foundation that it crumbles with like even the amount of thought that you would put into a typical Call of Duty game, which is very little.
Right.
It's a shame in that way, but still kind of fun and still a nice like not the worst thing in the world. And obviously a Call of Duty game is about the package rather than one element.
Thankfully, as of now, you'll be able to play Call of Duty on your PlayStation for the next few years.
Okay.
But
oh right. Yeah.
at some point,
why wouldn't I?
At some point, you may only be able to play it on Microsoft systems.
Yeah, they've been around. Like Microsoft, the way that they talk about stuff is clever,
yeah,
and I think honest, but also very thought out and very insidious is too strong of a word.
But calculated.
There's a couple of things. Calculated.
Yeah.
They did it with that. You're right, that because, you know, all the Activision merger stuff, people have been... And there's existing contracts that prevent them from making Call of Duty an Xbox exclusive.
Yes.
For quite some time.
Yeah.
Is what they've said.
Yeah.
They've been like, of course, we'd love to have it be... You know, on Game Pass and all this stuff. It will be on other consoles for the foreseeable future sort of thing is what they're saying.
Yeah, but and that's the lawsuit that's happening in the UK, I think, because...
It's happening all over the place. There was a lot of the stuff that was coming out was in Brazil. Like because it's such an international company, a bunch of different...
Yeah. But I think there's been speculation I've seen, actually, that because Sony's case is that this is an unfair monopoly.
Right.
Potentially Sony, and the reason is like Sony's saying like, well, obviously once they merge they will make stuff exclusive. That's what they're going to do. They're going to make these big franchises exclusive to their platform, and so Sony hasn't been leaning as heavily on promoting their own exclusives.
Oh,
because if they did that it would undercut their own case.
I guess they have been coming out and saying like, yeah, we want to get PlayStation games on PC.
Yeah.
A lot more than they used to.
Yeah. And, like, obviously God of War has been promoted heaps and is out in, what, like a week or two or something.
But I haven't seen a lot of that, like, only on PlayStation type of branding, I suppose.
A lot of the state of plays have been more about the PSVR 2.
The Yakuza games.
The Yakuza games that are cross-platform.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just a bit of, you know, bit of skullduggery that's going around. Maybe there's a bit of game playing going on in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing they said, I think today, Phil Spencer, I believe, said it.
Mm.
I always have to stop myself from saying Phil Spector.
Yeah. Mm.
Not only in that context, but all day. It's like a tick.
Well, he's your idol.
I love the man. The things he accomplished.
His fashion sense.
Yeah. Phil Spencer said about, he was asked, I suppose, about inflation and stuff like that, and said, like, of course, some products will go up in the future. It was very important to us for the holiday season that prices remain the same.
It's what Coles are doing. Have you seen that ad? They've kept the prices down and locked.
Oh, I have seen price locked until January.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, January is like 2 months away.
That's the thing. Him saying holiday season means, oh, cool, there'll be an Xbox price increase in February or January or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, Sony already went out there and like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
They ripped that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, the Oculus.
The Oculus. I'd already forgotten, honestly, as well. I mean, I don't have to buy one, but...
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff will go up, and obviously the price of Game Pass will go up in the future. Like, this is a... Yeah. An intro time, and you know, you look at stuff like Netflix, everything goes up over time.
Yeah.
But I think if you can be fairly safe in betting that it'll happen fairly shortly into the new year.
Yes.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah. This cost of living stuff.
You know what? Well, you know what will be you know what will be worth the presumably higher price tag when it eventually comes out.
The suicide machine.
Yes.
Yeah, as I mean, much as you want.
They could charge whatever that, yeah, it can cost everything in my bank for all I care.
They already exist and also never use them.
Yeah.
The Resident Evil 4 remake.
Yes.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned that they were doing this thing. They did that Resident Evil showcase last week, right after we recorded or the day after.
This always happens. There's a big showcase where it's like, here's everything that's coming out. And then like 48 hours later, it's like, oh, and by the way, here's just an extra trailer. It's like, did someone just forget to put this in the presentation? Like,
there's just a showcase all the time. We like live in one of those towns that would be this weird cross section between everywhere you would want to go in a country. So every circus would go through there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There must be a town where the circus was there every other week with some different circus.
New York?
Maybe that's the one. LV.
Yeah.
Las Vegas. Yeah. Yeah, they showed some Resident Evil, a little bit of the DLC, which comes out tomorrow for 8.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's the Rose stuff.
The Rose stuff and adding third-person mode to the game.
Real weird.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But 4 Remake, it's looking great.
Mm.
It looks, similar to what you would expect if you'd seen the 2 and 3 remakes and played them, right?
And obviously it doesn't need as much done to it as 2 and 3 did to make it look modern.
It definitely in terms of like the design of the shooting and stuff like that, but it does look like they've changed more than I maybe expected them to even. Mm. Because like that, they show that kind of initial section of like the first house and that first village fight that is very famous. And they've changed the way that house is, and all the stuff happening there looks very different to the first game. The village thing looks similar, but it all looks great. Everyone's running around the place and reacting to being shot and doing all the Resident Evil 4 things you would want them to do.
Yep.
Big chainsaw man's back.
Oh.
He's still got a sack over his face.
Mm-hmm.
Poor shy man.
I think I don't mind them changing stuff here and there because you can already get, you know, it doesn't, Resident Evil 4 hasn't dated that badly in terms of how it looks and plays, and you can get it on pretty much everything at this point. There's a million ways to play that original one. So I'm glad they're not just like chucking a fresh coat of paint on the old one. And I mean, there's that VR one that's a great way of playing it. So it kind of feels like it is being designed less in a way of it being someone's very first experience with it and more for like, hey, you played it back in the day and now you're going through it again with a few tweaks here and there.
Totally.
The big one that I've seen people single out, and I mean, this is a weird change because this is like such a kind of like a huge, in my head, a hugely iconic video game moment. The little dog that you rescue at the start of the game. Mm. There's a little dog in it and he's caught in a trap and you let him out and then he comes and helps you later on in a boss fight. And then in this, he's already dead.
Yeah, right. I didn't pick up on that bit.
Killed off the dog that you can help, which is just like, that happens within the first like couple of minutes of the game.
Right.
Really making a point of like, this ain't your grandpappy's Resident
That's
Evil
right.
4.
The world is a lot harsher and more depressing now than it was in the 90s.
The dog got COVID.
It is like all of the characters obviously look more realistic, but their faces look a bit odd. Mm. They're all a bit stiff looking, and I hope it retains that sense of like adventure and like kind of humor that 4 had, rather than going too serious.
Mm.
You know, I'm sure that'll be the case. But it's great news to me that they're mixing things up a bit.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy VII remake style.
The 2 and 3 ones were incredible. I feel like 3 less so, but that's probably more to do with like the original game that's underneath it as
and
well.
That you know, there's all that talk that they sped that one up a bit, and it was meant to be DLC initially, and yeah. You know, so it looks cool. It comes out in March, which is so fucking soon. And just little changes of like when he's running around that village bit. There's a part where like the chainsaw guy runs under like a staircase, which chops the staircase down. So then you can walk up it later. And like that definitely wasn't in it initially. And little changes like that of just fresh things for people who've played that game like 5 times or whatever. Like
right, so you're not just on autopilot going
through.
Exactly. Yeah. That just looking at a nicer thing would be like, well, I'd have modded it on the PC or whatever if I wanted to do that again. Mm. You know, like, and it looks better than that, but it's cool that they're freshening it up a bit.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, the way that it the original handled was that you had to stop to aim, right? You had to the shooting, which even just in the VR mode, the VR version of it, being able to just shoot on the go, people kind of commented like, oh, this changes it quite dramatically. Like that was kind of the first step of having a version of it that played a bit differently.
Right.
So, yeah, even just all that stuff, having it handle a bit different mechanically will be fucking cool.
You'll be fucking sick, bro.
It helps that it's one of the best games ever made too, because there's not that many games where I would be this interested and excited by the relatively minor changes that they are making.
Yeah.
But it's certainly enough for it to pop it off, but that game didn't really have a problem with it when it launched. A game that did is another one they're remaking. One of those projects, a CD Projekt kind of said, doing like 50 Witcher games and 100 Cyberpunk games and a million others. One of them is a Witcher 1 remake.
Yes.
Which is good news.
It was never on console. It was PC only, which at this point, you know, we've forgotten. But CD Projekt Red were focused on PC for a long time, and because it was capable of handling these, at the time, you know, ambitious games.
Yeah, The Witcher 1 was kind of that too, but it is super hard to go back to.
I think I've tried it, and I tried 2, and was like, no, I'm just going to play 3. Because 1 and 2 aren't open world games, right?
They kind of are, not in the same way as 3.
Yeah.
They've got, like, 1 has sort of distinct chapters with an open area in each of them.
Okay.
I don't think I ever ended up playing 2. 2? I think it was similar.
I think it was, like, a lot. It was set pieces in big levels.
Right.
I can't remember if it was open world or not. But yeah.
I think they were more of that, like, sort of semi, like a Neverwinter Nights, that type of older RPG. That's what Witcher 1 reminded me of a lot. And the writing was great in it, but it just did not feel good to play.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, running very pointlessly back and forth between grey walls to, you know, be, I've killed your fucking rats. And then the person would be like, oh, thank you, in an interesting, well-written way. Mm. You'd be like, that was kind of cool. I'll do it again, I guess. Yeah. So it's great to have that one of all of them get a little sparkle.
Yeah, and then I'm sure they'll do 2 later on.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
Not on the Series S, though, potentially.
Mm.
Look at these fucking slippery little slides that we're sliding down on.
Yeah, we're greased up for this one today.
Oh, there was a thing that I found interesting of this developer during the week. Let me remind myself of who it even was. This person from
Boom Crash Opera.
It was Bossa. That's Bossa it. Studios.
Sold Bossa Nova.
Yep.
And I Am Fish is a game they've made. I have no experience with this, but this person was saying that they, and it's like the tweets have since been deleted sort of thing, that a ton of developers don't want to develop things for Series S.
Yep.
Want Microsoft to remove that as a necessity right. for development because it is particularly hard to cram a game into, and I would love for that to be removed if that is the case. It's it's the RAM in particular, I've seen people speculate, is too small to and you actually have to design a game around that sort of stuff because it is the amount of space you are able to put into in front of people.
Like having to include those, like, you know, loading screen elevator trips and squeezing through cracks and stuff, like a lot of that stuff is included to reduce the load on
oftentimes. There was some weird little thing this week as well. I cannot remember what it was, but people getting mad about, like, someone walking through a crack in a game because it was hiding a loading screen. And the guy was like, it's not always doing that. Often we have to put it there as a funnel because you fucking idiots will go backwards instead of fighting in this fight we've just set up for. You'll turn around and run away. So that's we have good. To make a wall for you dumb cunts. I don't remember the exact way they said it, but it was basically that.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
But yeah, it is, like, it's a shame. And I think everyone said this initially when it was coming out. It's like, it makes sense as a thing to put on a shelf during this transitionary period between the two generations of, like...
Because it's like not what, like, not super far off the Xbox One X.
It's better than the One X, but not by enough to, make it...
an actual fully next-gen capable.
The Series X is equivalent to the next-gen stand. You know, that is the one.
When is this fucking current gen going to start? Like, this is... Surely now, right? It's like, and I know it comes across as, like, a very, like, elitist thing to just be like, you buy the new console or you miss out on the games. Mm. And I know that it's, you know, it gives people access to the games that are coming out if they can't afford. But it's also, it's like, you've got that old console, you've got a huge, there's a huge library of games on it.
Yeah.
That's how it's always worked. There's a 4 or 5 year window. There's lots of stuff to play there on it now. Meanwhile, these new things, it's still crazy to me that, like, this seems to be just, like, not that much of an issue to people that, like, these PlayStation 5s that we got 2 years ago, what's on there that you need that to... There's plenty of stuff that looks nicer on it, but there's like... Fuck, there's like Ratchet and Clank is the thing And I loved that.
Yeah.
But that should have been... Yeah. That should have been the launch. That should have been the kickoff. Mm. Like, it's just a crazy thing to me that this isn't... This doesn't bother more people. I don't know.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 16 is PS5 only, I guess, is the next big one. And like Ragnarok, which is out in 2 weeks, is the last one. And I think they said at some point, they're like, that's kind of it for the big ones at least.
I think it's because gamers seem to think, like, gaming is a right.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, well, you have to make sure that people can afford, you know, can play this and play that. And, you know, like, you have to be egalitarian about it. It's like, these are like luxury toys. Like, there's no...
And you get the newest thing because
it's a privilege,
like,
to be able to afford even an old gen console.
And the selling point has always been, like, you want the newest tech and you want the thing that looks the best, and that's why you accept the hefty price tag if you go in on day one, because you'll have you're someone who likes to have the flashiest looking thing, and there's just like precious little on it that really showcases what this thing can do.
Yeah.
There's some stuff, and it's so hard because, like, as a company, it makes complete sense to be, especially after, like, you know, the start of that last generation when they were bringing in the Xbox One. People were like, well, what if we don't want to have it always online? He's like, then get a 360. And people hated that because it does seem like this flippant way of, like, treating that subject, I suppose. Especially in a time when we were like, simply spend the $750 to get it and next year $800, you know? Like, it makes a lot of sense business-wise to put your product in as many places as possible.
It's true,
but creativity-wise, it's cool to use the best possible paints and canvases.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also the case that, like, the people developing these things now feel like they've been scarred by being kids when, like, the Super Nintendo came out and you're, like, 8 and trying to convince your parents to get you one, and they're like, we've got a Nintendo. It's like, no, but this one's better. It's like, in what way? Like, you know what I mean? Like, trying to get it over the lot. It's like, oh, well, what if 8-year-old me didn't have to own the Super Nintendo to play Super Mario World. What if I could play a shit version of it on the NES?
And people would have been going like, oh, fucking... I would have been going like, Super Mario All-Stars, I've already played these games. You know, it's always been happening. And I guess it's just that particularly with consoles, they've never made a current console that is less capable than the other current console. Like the Series S in particular... The cross-generation stuff is one thing, and that happened last time, and Metal Gear Solid 5 was like on the PS3 and everything, and that made that game worse. The time it took for them to have to develop that crazy engine was part of why they didn't finish it properly. You know, so I agree that I don't love it as a thing to have to be making these. It's really complicated to make something that can be played in 50 places.
Well, I mean, the way it used to happen, I was just listening to the Kane and Rince fellas talking about Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and that came out on the Master System, but it was a significantly downscaled version. They weren't trying to get it basically at pat, which is kind of what happens now, right? It's like it might like run a little smoother, but it smoother or less smooth depending on where you're playing it, but it's essentially the same version, whereas like the Master System version of Sonic 2, Tails just isn't in it because it's like, well, this hardware just can't handle having two characters on the screen at once. And like the level layouts are different, the music's different. It's like, yeah, you can play it, but we're gonna have to make
have a
separate team working on it, basically a different game. Like,
if they were as transparent about that now, that would be better.
When they do that with like FIFA games for ages, but in a kind of gross way too, where they're like, it's FIFA 23. Legacy edition, which means it's FIFA 19 or something, but with a new roster in it. That sort of stuff is grubby. But like, yeah, my point was that like the cross-generational stuff is one thing, but then it is a new thing to have a current generation console that is less powerful in this way, I guess, other than a Switch and shit. And what people do with the Switch is ignore it.
Yeah.
And their Microsoft's mandate that things have to run on a Series X and S, that is the thing that people have a problem. It's not even the S existing. If that was like, here's the Microsoft Switch, it's the small one, and you can stream games to it because it's got the cloud capability, maybe that'll change in the future because of that. But yeah, anyway. Don't buy any video game. Buy food only.
Games are a luxury item. They're not food. They're not a staple. But you know what is a staple?
But art belongs to everyone.
Well, you know what should belong to everyone?
What's that?
Manscaped's beautiful products.
Mm-hmm. Now we're talking art and commerce.
That's right. Manscaped is taking over Australia.
Oh, so, no.
This is...
It's on. The spill is on.
That's how we're all finding out about the invasion. Manscaped is taking over Australia just in time for the holidays. Their life-changing hygiene products are now available in all Woolworths Australia retail stores. Never forget...
Right now?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Never forget, gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become the family favorite. We've all bought them for our dads.
Oh, my grandma loves it. Loves it.
Make sure to swing by and pick up their signature lawnmower, the most brilliant ball trimmer to bless the motherland.
Is that Australia? I don't think anyone's ever fucking called it the motherland.
Or the fatherland. We're a colony.
We're nothing.
We invaded native culture and colonized it.
Yeah, and now Manscaped's doing it all over again.
But they're going to do it right this time.
We never ceded this land to you, Manscaped.
Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by swinging by any Woolworths Australia or... And this is the bit I like.
About New Zealand.
This is the bit that I like. Going to manscaped.com.
Oh.
For 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY.
Now, why wouldn't you do it? Yes, you can walk into your local Woolies and, hey, more power to you if you do.
Sure.
But get that 20% discount.
It's interesting that they've asked us to advertise the thing that means that there'll be less evidence that these ads work well for them.
Yeah, when you go to Woolies, write Manscaped a letter afterwards telling them that you bought it at Woolies because of us.
Yes. Type in FILTHY into the self-checkout and see if that does anything.
Yeah, put Manscaped through his unwashed potatoes and then send a letter to...
That's
the biggest discount puzzle.
If you are Australian... And, not all of you listening are. In fact, most of you aren't, if you do the maths. But those of you who are, you can now, if you haven't already, go to Woolworths and buy a Manscaped but actually go to manscaped.com.
Manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY. You get 20% off and free shipping, so it's actually cheaper to get it that way, both because of the 20% off, but also drive into the Woolworths, drive it back. That's petrol.
More convenient. Free shipping,
someone else's petrol. They're doing it on their own dollar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what we use in this country, by the way, is dollars.
Yeah, dollary dollars.
Is Manscaped going to change that to scape coins or something?
Pube coin.
Yeah, the shavings of your pubes are now your currency.
Yeah.
The more you shave your pubes, the more money you have.
That's all right.
That's pretty right. good.
You'd
That's actually great too, because children can't have money.
Yeah.
Giving them pocket money will be weird.
What about people with like alopecia?
Yeah, well, and we'll have depends. A support network.
Okay.
Because we've all got a UBI now, and if you've got a UTI, your UBI becomes very difficult to shave off. Mm-hmm. But that means that we'll have to support people who are bald. Yeah, if you're bald, does that mean you've shaved your hair off to be rich?
Yes.
Baldness is a sign of wealth in this brave new world.
I'm zooming in from my yacht, and the answer is yes.
I bought my new sports car, wind blowing through my scalp.
So shave your pubes and go to manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY.
20% off free shipping. Well, I talked about Call of Duty. Yeah, that's one game I played.
That's one game?
That's one game. There were two others.
Whoa.
That I've been playing a ton of this week.
Three games.
It's video game season.
Fuck. It really is.
Oh, I'm so excited for it because tomorrow Bayonetta's out as
yes.
well.
Yeah.
That DLC for Resident Evil, all the multiplayer stuff for Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of shit. God of War
noticed
just cresting the horizon.
Yeah. Mm.
No, Nintendo usually, their review embargoes are at the pretty much always at the same time in the week of release. Bayonetta 3, the reviews sneaking out a little bit earlier.
I wonder if that's partly a platinum thing.
They want to get the word out that this game is good and get that voice actor controversy out of people's heads.
I think they'd already had this fucking
game.
Oh, what you just said the word, the thing where your time is up.
Embargo.
Movie, embargo. The embargo.
Cat
was already set before all the voice.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Okay, yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure, but it's not a bad thing that
I thought
it's...
that was a good little good little conspiracy theory.
It's not
release
bad.
Release the reviews,
but like most conspiracy theories,
it's
never stupid. It's not true.
It's cooked up by someone with an incredibly large penis.
they're certainly
people.
It's a good thing that all that
damn
stuff
game.
Came through. That hey, she maybe wasn't being fair to them. We kind of talked about it all last week. Nothing really happened more, but she did come out and be like, "Well, yes, that report is right.
Yes,
but
from my perspective, I'm still insulted.
Messy.
But the game sounds good as hell, and I personally cannot wait.
I've got tomorrow off. Goodbye, girlfriend. Bayonetta's my new girlfriend.
I think I'm going to do another midnight sesh.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah. I liked doing that. Just, you know, get that first hour out of the way.
I'm going to go to bed early. Rather than staying up late and playing it for half an hour and getting tired,
I'm
going to go to bed early, get up early, play it all day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do have to kind of be up early tomorrow anyway.
Well,
I'm going to go to bed at about midnight, get up tomorrow, just have a really nice, easy day. Not sure if I'll play Bayonetta 3 straight away or not.
Okay.
Might go for a walk outside.
Yep.
Any other sleeping pattern sort of stuff we need to check in on? Or
build it around video games. The other two, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope. I've fucking loved playing more of that. It's such a good game. Maybe we'll talk about that more in a second. But also, Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
Gotham.
That old ad from the 80s. Yep. We all remember correctly.
Yep.
we've both been playing it, Ben.
Yes. Yeah. I've played, I don't know, a few hours of it.
Mm-hmm. In between your leisurely walks.
That's right.
Your late morning croissants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sliding down your gut. You don't even bother to chew anymore.
I had
it so leisurely.
I had an apricot Danish today, actually.
Okay.
Very nice. Yeah. A bit of custard in there. Never realized. A bit of custard in the Danish.
You never realized? They're in all Danishes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I played Gotham Knights. I was going to bring this up before, but I saved it because it was the wrong time to segue. I bought this physically.
Okay.
Because $110 on the eStore. 110 bucks for a game.
Cracking 100 feels pretty bad.
125 has happened a few times to us.
And I've refused.
Right.
I've refused to
You know,
partake.
There's certain things Physical where you just get used to, like, they might be going up, but they're always going to be south of this number.
Yep.
It's always felt like pre-100. It's like, you know, they might be, you know, sometimes you're paying 80, you're paying 90, you're getting up there, but it's always just felt like, once, you know, we're not in triple digits yet, and now well over triple digits.
At the launch
awful.
Of the 360, there were a few games at $120.
Really?
And a couple of Nintendo 64 games were more than 100. But then, also Super Nintendo games used to get real fucking expensive sometimes. Okay.
Inflation, I guess, it's supposed to catch up to itself. You know, like it is supposed to even out. If the entire economy is, like, you know, tracking and there's not shortages or whatever, then the actual monetary, the number shouldn't increase that much. But whatever the case may be, I got this off Amazon and added it to my, like, collection of, like, 9 games or something that I have physically.
Yeah, it's so weird that printing out a physical disc, putting it in a plastic case, chucking that directly in the ocean into a whale's mouth, that is, like, significantly cheaper than buying a digital game. But I'm weirdly... So the reception of this, opposite of what we were saying about Bayonetta before, has been a nightmare for them. Like, a lot of bad reviews. A lot of negativity. I quite like this game.
I think it's good. I think it's old... it's dated.
It feels like playing a PS3 game.
Yeah, in almost every way, I feel like it's a bit dated.
Yes.
Visually, apart from the graphics are fine.
The design of them and, like, the fidelity of them is good. There's some... you know, but yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, the interface, the, like, literally the menus, but also, like, the HUD, the way that you'll, like, walk up to the start of, like, what is actually as a cutscene, like, absolutely normal, not notably dated, but you'll, like, walk up to a giant glowing blue circle on the ground. It's like all of this stuff that's very, it lacks elegance, it lacks the sort of simplicity and minimalism that contemporary games try to have.
Yeah. When you have something like Elden Ring really trying to push the like the kind of the elegance and simplicity of things. And obviously not everything's going to catch up straight away, but you would hope that there'd be, like, more of a trickle down of, same with, like, God of War did it really beautifully. Like,
yes,
you'd hope that there'd be, like, way more of a trickle down effect, so that when hasn't even attempted to go near it, it does really stick out.
Yeah. By the time they've made Arkham Knight, which is, like, 7 years ago now, that I think all of the Arkham games did it better than this. Like, this game feels over a decade old.
Yes,
in those ways, but it feels like a fun PS3 game.
It's fun to play. That's the thing. Like, it is. The story is, like, whatever. It doesn't have quite the same, you know, touch of class or fun or, you know, polish that, even those Arkham games had. But it's a classic Batman-y, you know, comic book story. The characters are all pretty iconic, even though they're all the sort of newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking their interactions with each other, too. You've got sort of a little base where... So Batman's dead. He's been killed first thing in the game.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry to tell you. Queen Elizabeth and Batman both went down in the same ship. And
Ra's al Ghul actually killed Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wanted her to be the next leader of the League of Shadows. Yes. And she's like, no, that's my son. Which one? You know. But so he's gone and you are playing as... one of the four, and you can change between them kind of whenever you want, of Nightwing, Red Hood, Batgirl, and Robin.
Mm.
So three of those were Robins at one point.
Yes.
Yep.
But you got three Robins and a Batgirl at a pizza place, and you're going on these nighttime expeditions, as a bat person is like to do.
Mm.
From this, like, belfry kind of hub, you've got where you'll get these kind of little, almost Mass Effect-y, sitting on the ship kind of interactions where people will be chatting in the thing and
saying
little quippy, like, hey, little Nightwing, how about you? Fuck off.
Little memory things. We're like, oh, a little flashback to another time when they had an argument.
And that's all quite nice. And, like, none of it's, like, super elevated or whatever. Like, it's all very comic booky and very fun. It's like just chewy and enjoyable.
It's very, like, as with sort of the simplicity and the datedness of like how it looks as a package. It's also very like, it's not a gritty superhero take. It's very bright, very colorful, which I think maybe turned people off as well a little bit.
I'm liking it, but I could see it do that happen.
I think, I mean, my preference is for that more like serious or, you know, realistic. But also at the end of the day, yeah, the people wearing costumes fighting crime. So.
And it's not doing it so goofy that it's unbelievable or whatever. Like, it's got some groundedness to it, especially in... So you're going out on a night and you've got like sort of objectives plastered around the map, which are like either random crimes that are being committed, like kidnappings and robberies. Yeah, I guess I just stole the spork. I don't know. And you're going and sort of it boils down to being a bunch of Assassin's Creed style pinpoints on a map that you're driving a little motorbike between.
It's very Spider-Man.
Sure.
It reminds me, it's not quite as polished, but it is that kind of not super character filled open world. You know, like the Spider-Man one obviously is just New York. It's just and so I think people also expected Gotham to be a bit more, you know, that Burton-y, gothic-y sort
it's
of thing.
It's certainly not. It looks more like a city and like quite a plain... I mean, it looks like Gotham. It's all dark and brooding and got the neon and whatever, and it looks decent. It just... It is a bit blanker.
Yes.
Than, especially, like Arkham Knight, which, to be clear, this isn't a sequel to the Arkham games.
Mm.
It's developed by the people who did Arkham Origins.
Yeah, WB Montreal.
WB Montreal. Which also sounds like the name of like an old oil billionaire.
an old French Canadian.
I'm a Batman. But it's not a sequel to the Arkhams at all. It's in its own separate Batverse or whatever.
Mm. Yep.
But it does play similarly because as you're going through this, kind of playing, kind of repetitive, still enjoyable and quite like. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like quite a sincere open world. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make you have fun.
Yeah, yes.
Which feels good.
Yeah. I think they're just more limited in what they are capable of as a developer.
And the budget for this, and we'll get to the technical stuff soon because that's my biggest problem with the game. But definitely like the scope of it and the polish of it is less than a Batman than one of those Batman Arkham games.
Yeah.
And it is more reminiscent of, like a PS3 Assassin's Creed, whatever. It's all just kind of there. And there's different sort of more complex, like, Harley Quinn's got this plot and let's solve that over multiple nights. But you're going out each night as one of these characters and then, like, returning to the Belfry kind of when you're done or you've got nothing else to do and resetting. So you're
cool.
Not just out all of the time. You're going on individual kind of little missions.
Yeah. And yeah, like the main sort of storyline quest line is more like you go out and then you go to a location, you go to GCPD headquarters. And so it's like you can stealth through there, you can fight through there. Mm-hmm. It is a bit more like those linear story missions from the Arkham games. You go to Blackgate Prison, you go into these sort of iconic locations. And that's all done fine. Like that's all done, totally well. They escalate the enemy types as you kind of further through the story missions.
Yeah, a big hook of this, right, is which I imagine neither of you have engaged in yet, is that you can do the whole thing co-op, right?
Mm. I am not sure what the parts of it you can and can't do co-op.
Okay.
There is definitely co-op. It doesn't appear that it's the whole thing.
Okay.
You can do co-op.
Interesting.
It seems that you can switch co-op on or off and join multiplayer. You're right. I haven't done any of that. And honestly, like even though I'm giving my opinion on this game, I don't want to.
Yeah.
It seemed like that's how it was really being pushed at a certain point. Certainly when it was first revealed, it looked to me like it was like you had to do this, you know, like It Takes Two or something.
Yep.
Like you had to be doing it online.
The scuttlebutt is that Avengers was responsible for that decision and the decision to move away from it.
Okay, yes. Because right. it's not front and center at all. At some point, I maybe was like, that option's there to do that. But mostly, it is presented like one of those Arkham games. Like you say, that sort of daily or nightly cycle of heading back to the home base.
I do think it's probably a part of the game's development that has made the rest of the game suffer. Because when you're thinking about it, you can see like, this is kind of like a weirdly open area with X number of enemies shuffling in from corridors that could be easily altered for, it, you know, scaling if there's four people here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the customization stuff, you could see how that could much more be tied to, like, you know, and I guess the leveling and stuff, all of that stuff probably would have been tweaked. But also there is a lot of customization and you're, like, crafting your weapons and upgrading the levels and also unlocking and crafting different suits. Color ways and different styles, and you know, I love all that stuff. Like, yep. I've always been a fan of that, even just in any game. I love to sort of unlock that shit.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of it in there.
There is a lot. I'm not particularly enjoying this one for some reason, just because it's like kind of there's a disconnect between I'm not sure when I'm earning this stuff. Like
oh, yeah.
You're just kind of building stuff up all the time that you'll go and look at your crafting thing. You have six new types of club to build for whoever.
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't remember unlocking these. I don't remember gathering these resources in particular. You're just sort of getting them as you defeat people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not finding that particularly engaging. As you defeat people being the main thing you're doing in this game. So that's in the kind of way it's similar to Arkham, is that it's got a... one button is punching, one button is a ranged attack, one button is dodging, go fight.
Yep. One button is grapple.
One button is grapple eventually.
Yep.
One button is hold down this button and then push another button to do like a big attack.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it than that, but you're basically timing your punches, doing that thing of like trying to create a rhythm and it'll do a bit more damage, swapping who you're punching between. And dodging when like a spiky circle shows up around someone's fist or foot.
Yep.
It's enjoyable and it works. It is not as good as the Arkham games were.
No.
It doesn't feel as flowy and as like cinematic and rhythmic and enjoyable as that. It is a little stiffer and it's a little just plainer like the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of, I'm having fun doing it.
It feels like, I know that like, it's easy to compare the Arkham ones to like a beat 'em up because that really is what they are. Like they took the third person, you know, action game and put beat 'em up stuff in it and did it really well. This feels more like a beat 'em up though. Like it's less rhythmic. It less feels like you're actually like fighting this guy. And when he attacks you, you know, it's more just like you're kind of button mashing and you know what I mean? Like it doesn't feel quite like you're actually like locked into each character and fighting them. It just feels like you're a guy in the middle of the room punching a lot.
Right. And I've found that I can very easily accidentally be pointed in the wrong direction when I'm fairly certain I've pointed the stick towards this guy to chuck a little batarang at him.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Yeah. Why did I just punch literally the opposite direction to where the character is in front of me?
It's totally okay. And like each of the characters has a few kind of minor differences between them, but they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. I think the game all over is like a pretty solid example of your like, oh, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that it excels at. Mm-hmm. It's not doing anything where you could go like, oh, remember in Gotham Knights it did this?
Get it on a sale and you'll have a fun time with it.
I think so. Yeah. Especially if you've got, you know, if you've been bitten by the Batman and you've got the Lissa virus in your blood, you'll probably have a better time with this. And I think a lot of the reviews I'd seen had led me to believe. I was surprised that I'm enjoying it as much as I am, because it kind of does a bunch of stuff that I'm often not that keen on, of like an open world with repetitive tasks and stuff. But it's just doing something that I'm having a good enough time with.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of times reviewers will come down like way harder on a game that is in actuality like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because
they're
playing like everything and it's a bit like, you know, there's maybe a bit of resentment that like this has wasted my time by not doing anything truly outstanding. When the truth of the matter is just like, to the average person who plays 3-4 things a year, it's like, this is fun.
I'm having a good time with it as well. And I play 3-4 things a bloody fucking day, mate.
Yeah, I think
I'm up early in the morning. I skip the walk. I skip the croissant.
Yeah.
I'm straight into the game of chair.
It's... people are probably judging it harshly because it does feel dated.
Yeah.
And a reviewer's job is to be at the cutting edge. And you do play everything that's new and you value innovation.
And even though they've made a lot of, you know, they've really tried hard to go, it's not an Arkham sequel. It's sort of like slightly different team.
Yeah.
But it is still carrying that weight of, I think, people going like, well, it's been ages since the last Arkham. What if it's just a be sick of it is just a new one of them.
It is worse than any of the Arkham games.
And that's the thing, like, we've brought up the Arkham games as just a comparison because it is another Batman game.
Yeah.
And to be clear of, like, yeah, this is where it stands in relation to that. But, yeah, all of the reviews I read were more just like, the Arkham games are good and this one is bad in comparison. And it's like, it's not as good, but it's not a bad game. It's weird because, you know, like, I do tend to like things that are innovative and new and really get sort of, you know, inspired by that kind of creativity. But this is a good game if it came out, you know, 8 years ago.
And I think you're totally right that thing of you and I definitely have a pretty high tolerance for, if I'd have found a 7 out of 10 PS3 game that I'd never played before,
right,
I'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And this does feel like that.
Yes.
And in part because it is technically kind of a mess. Like, there's a weird amount of loading for, like, a PS5 game.
Mm. Right.
It is running poorly. Like, the 30 frames thing is one thing, and, like, it looks nice enough and it's a high resolution. And when it's at 30 frames, I'm not thinking about it, but it chugs down under that regularly.
Yeah.
And that is bothersome in the way that it was with, you know, a million games on the PS3 did that.
Yeah.
This is a fun Batman PS3 game you'd never heard of that got a strange remaster on the PS5. If you think of it that way, this is a good game.
Because, Assassin's Creed is a good comparison because, like, I'm having, like, things where I'll be like, I pressed X to jump.
Right.
They didn't. Why aren't you jumping?
Sometimes it lets you jump if you're near a ledge, but if you're just standing in the middle of nowhere, it won't jump.
Well, sometimes it won't jump onto a ledge. Or, like, I'll be on, like, a platform with, like, a fence around it. And so it's, like, saying, like, press X to perch.
Mm.
And I was like, it's not perch. You're giving me the, like, context-sensitive, you know, controls, and it's not doing it. I've got to walk around, sneak, and then walk around. And, like, then, so it's got some weird, like, collision detection stuff. Right. And
the controls and, like, the technical side of it are bad. They are just, like, they're not awful, but it's just, like, subpar. It's a measurable thing that you can say is below what is generally the standard.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think a lot of the design of it, though, is, like, very has all been done completely, but it's done well enough in this that I'm enjoying my time with it. And I think, you know, if you don't get this, if you don't like Batman or you don't like open world games, it's not going to change your mind about anything. But if you enjoy that sort of stuff, this is a perfectly fine game.
I think because also, like, I'm a Batman fan. I'm not a Spider-Man fan.
It's big of you to say.
Thank you. I'm not a, you know, like, I played those Marvel Spider-Man games and was like, these are well-made games, you know, but I didn't particularly feel invested in the character or the world or anything like that. This is a worse-made game, but I am more of a fan of what they're doing and who they're doing it with.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if you are a big Batman fan, but you're not super, you know, persnickety about games being AAA, absolutely 100% polished, then this is a game for you.
It is fun playing as Batman's supermodel proteges.
Yes.
Well, Adam, we got to hear about game number 3 that you've been playing.
Mario and Rabbids. You want to talk more Mario and Rabbids?
Yeah.
That was the third one. Because I think you guys have all both been playing more of it too.
I've been playing more of it than anything else.
It's fucking so good.
It's so good.
It's, I think it's definitely, well, the first one had this, like, crazy difficulty spike near the end where it just very abruptly got, like, way harder.
I think after the singing guy is my memory of
that's
it.
That's right,
where,
yeah. This is incrementally kind of ramping up. I'm getting stumped pretty regularly. I feel like you're having to tweak your team a lot more in this one. I feel like the first one, you just picked your favorites that you, even if you just liked them aesthetically or in terms of, like, personality or just Mario's your favorite character, so you're just going to stick with him in your team. This one does feel a lot more like, oh no, I've had to actually think about, like, I just did the fight last night where it's like a big enemy boss that doesn't, you don't really do much damage with your weapon, so you have to, like, lure it onto these.
Yeah.
It'll do this thing when you hit it where it, like, jumps into the air and smashes down, so you have to lure it onto these explosive pads. You then have to hit it so it, like, jumps up and triggers the explosive pad and blows itself up. But you then also have to, like, make sure that your team is all spread enough around, because otherwise it's going to do, you know, area of attack. Like, it feels like there's a lot more kind of things like that where you really have to think about, like, okay, I need my long range guy. I need my barrier guy. Like, yeah.
Your different weapon types will matter way more because, like, the different sort of objectives that you get that aren't just kill everyone or whatever, the spread of, like, Peach's kind of shotgun thing can be really useful to, like, destroy three of those, like, globby eyes at once, if that's your
thing. Yeah, like, I hadn't been using Peach because I was like, oh, I don't really have much... I don't really care about Peach all that much. Peach is great. And then got her in to do this battle last night, and it's like, oh, she's got a... It's like, it lists that she's got a shield thing, but I'm so... I feel like a lot of times in these kinds of things... The shield is like, oh, it reduces damage by 10%. And I always kind of go, ah, not worth it. Hers is like literally you take no damage in
two
the
hits,
area.
Two hits, yeah. Right. For well, your whole team too, for like if the team is in that circle.
In the window, yeah. So it's like, good. Oh, she's the she might be the best one.
And you can give them that shit and just charge in and not worry about getting hit really in the next round.
Well, see, I don't use Peach at all because you also have the Sparks, which... have their own customizable abilities. And so there's a shield, one of those. So you just pop that on someone who has maybe an attack that is more to your play style. I haven't found I've changed my team at all, really. I've been Mario, Rabbid, Peach, and Luigi. The entire game. But I have swapped around the Sparks occasionally.
And you get those few levels where it'll make you be to certain people. And those I'm finding fun to just... It is. I think you said last week that slow unravel of getting the new characters. I did like that.
Yeah.
And I am sort of having so many options at the start is a little overwhelming for the first while. And
it's classic sort of JRPG stuff where you get people in your party like incrementally, and it makes you, it makes you use all of them enough that by the time it's down to like now you've got 10 people to pick three out of, you really feel like. I mean, Persona is a great example where you're, you're across them all. Like,
You're certainly having to, like, deliberately learn with these ones. But you're right. The amount that they're useful and then, like, the Sparks that have the elemental properties are so much more important than in a lot of similar games because, like, the resistances and the weaknesses that enemies have, especially later on as they get more and more and more health, and they're, like... their attacks can be so much more dangerous to you. Like, there are these cunts that show up later on who can, like, you know, do some area of effect thing that will stop you from being able to use your weapons in the next turn.
Oh, right.
And you got to get those fucks straight away.
Yeah.
And they're weak to a certain thing and resistant to a certain thing. So you really need to make sure that, like, well, the most capable person of getting to them quickly and destroying them should have ooze or whatever it is. It's just, like, there's so much to think about. And that initial... planning phase when you get to first into a battle and you get to look over the whole thing and then choose your team. I'm doing it every time. I'm going through and having a look at what's there, thinking about it, and I wasn't doing that.
I used to never do that, same, and I haven't been doing it really up until like that battle last night, just getting flogged a bunch of times and being like, oh, I got to get smarter about this. I can't just be charging in and hoping that it's going to work out. I've got to actually look at the layout and who I'm taking in.
I've been charging in. I've been just like skipping cutscene. I just want to get to each battle and I'm really enjoying them.
Right.
And I'm not finding it that difficult. Like I think I'm on the fourth planet.
The trees and the island trees. Yeah.
And haven't really encountered any like bottlenecky sort of difficulty spikes. But having said that, it's really fun. I just want to play it.
Yeah.
It just feels fantastic. It's so... The thing that they're doing, they've just fucking honed it down.
Yep. The jumping, you know, and the team jumps and the jump pads.
I'm using
like,
them all the fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah, all
those jump
stuff.
Pads are great because you can use as many as you want in a turn. So if you can get from jump pad to jump pad...
Yeah. Which generally you can.
You're fucking flying.
Yeah.
Your little area of movement in that battle I just did, it does cover you from pad to pad.
That's,
so you can...
Yeah.
And you just go chuck Luigi in the middle and you're like, fuck you. Oh, actually, Luigi gets two jumps for me though.
Yes.
As you build people... And I've just been doing the autofill... The skill tree stuff.
Yeah, same.
So sometimes they'll have a new ability and I'm like, oh, what's that? Because I'm not paying fucking attention to that part.
Yeah.
It's such a good game. If you've got a Switch, Sparks of Hope is, I reckon, an official must buy.
Yeah, it's going to be
on
my...
The only thing I don't like about it, game of the year list. This is a minor niggle. And it's complete taste. But I think the worst thing about it is the Ubisoftness of it. There's like I kind of wish this had been maybe like given back over to Nintendo for just that like extra 20-30% of right. like polish of like, you know, the UI is all a little bit like, you know, a little like kind of chunky yep. and a bit like just doesn't have that like elegance that
yep.
an intent. It's weird seeing these characters in a menu that's kind of got that like borderline like Comic Sans sort of look to it. It's yeah. is like a bit jarring to me. But
I kind of agree. I think you said last week, and I agree with this, that there's more Rabbids than Mario in it now, and I'm not loving that ratio.
There's more Ubisoft being allowed to do. It feels like a bit more. Yeah, them just being allowed to run with what yeah. they want. I mean, the design of yeah. the new character Edge is a bit like, it's such a dank-looking character. It's just yeah. a bit like...
Dank as in bad.
Yes.
Dank as in swamp, not dank as in like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You're right, I forgot. Maybe because I didn't play the first one as much as you guys did.
Right.
I forgot the... how charming it was to see those actual sort of mixed together characters.
Yeah, like Rabbid Kong was like the first boss. It's like, yeah, it's a giant
and you were fighting,
rabbit with a little Donkey Kong tie.
Yeah. You were fighting more Koopas and stuff like that.
Right.
And this one, they're mostly just some rabbit.
Originally, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. So, and it's a tiger for some reason.
Right.
It's not yeah. something that like really, it doesn't impact the gameplay or...
No.
It's not, it's still not like a negative, it's not making me enjoy it any less.
It's a quirk.
It's more yeah. just as a point of personal taste. It's like, oh, I wish there was... Yeah, I wish there was maybe like, yeah, just 20-30% more of that like overall polish on it.
We sort of mentioned this last week, but I remembered more specific parts of it too, of like the voices are so fucking weird.
Yeah.
The fact that your little vacuum cleaner guy is speaking his full lines all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And him and the AI are literally the only ones to do that.
And he sounds like C-3PO when he had no voice in the... He just had
it's
the little beeping.
So weird.
And that was charming, but right. now he's like, oh, Mario.
And yeah. In the first one as well, they were just like, blah, and whatever, like yeah. those noises. But now Rabbit Peach is like, selfie, and it's just all a bit... it can sometimes be a bit annoying.
Mm. I like Rabbid Mario. I'll cop all of this because sure. I really like Rabbid
oh.
Mario.
Yeah.
Take it easy!
Yeah. yeah. But this, I don't... I play this with the sound down. I've listened to music or put podcasts on. This is one of those ones of like, I'm playing chess.
A silent room and you're zipping through it as fast yeah, as yeah, possible. Yeah.
Skipping yeah. the cutscenes. Ben could just be playing like the demo before they've, like the, you know, the internal like
yeah.
beta
yeah,
before they've,
yeah.
the alpha before
they've
put any
just
like.
Just white cubes and yeah. cones and
well,
stuff.
Because this game, like the previous one, is not, it's not a platformer. It's not a story. You know, this is chess, this is Tetris,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
like, this is about the mechanics of it and
it
the
is.
Strategy of it.
That it's worth emphasizing again, that creativity you get from that by being able to freely run around
mm.
and the nightmare of realizing, fuck, I could have run Peach back here to get
yeah.
us this ability to do that and then it would have been over,
yeah.
but I fucking had her shoot too early,
yeah.
just like her dad, which is me.
like having the first like battle that you lose because like, oh, I should have been positioning better, you know,
yeah.
because like in like the first pretty much entire world, I was just like, yeah, I got my three characters, just move them together, stay behind cover, just go towards the enemies sort of at the same time. And then, yeah, the first time it's like, oh, no, if you like outflanked these ones
yeah.
or you yeah used one to team jump to over there, it just opens up the game in another way.
I love sending yeah. Luigi off on his own little mission on that side
mm-hmm.
while the other two go do something over this side so that we can get it all done in one turn.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Great. Yeah.
Both of Mario and Luigi's things where if an enemy moves, they get shot.
Yeah.
Like triggering them at the wrong point where you like... You're moving Luigi around, so you get him to do his shot, then you'd like activate that steely stare thing for him,
yeah.
thinking like, okay, well, this person's going to move and then that'll, in the next turn, that'll take them out. But then you have someone else do something that like blows someone up and
yeah.
they like fly up into the air and
yeah,
then he uses it. And it's
yeah.
like, ah, no, they were already dead. That's such a waste of a move.
You want to just get on the radio with it and be like, Luigi, stand down.
But even like Luigi's attack getting stronger the further away he is from an enemy.
Yes,
right.
Like,
yes.
There's so many little aspects that
doesn't
you know,
it kill you when you feel like you've got him lined up perfectly, but there's like one little bit of cover
or
in between. It's
like
comes
yeah.
up 0%. It's like fuck.
It's a good fucking game, dude.
Yeah.
It's a great ass game.
All right. Well,
and this has been a great ass podcast.
I got to tell you about the Call of Duty stuff. I'll be real quick. But
yes.
After,
oh, right. I forgot we were going to do
thing.
That.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's us for this week. Filthycasuals.com.au. We got the Patreon on there.
Yes.
Get a bonus episode every week. Check out the Bandcamp stuff. Check out all our YouTube videos. We got hundreds of stuff, videos up on there.
Yeah.
Long plays, one-offs, all sorts of stuff. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I genuinely just had a sip of Monster Energy. Here's what's wrong with Call of Duty. And I will spoil the thing here. So if you don't want to know spoilers about the campaign, there's... Okay.
If you're the person listening on a motorbike and you have to pull over to tap your headphone to stop the podcast from playing, this has been your opportunity to do so.
Here's the warning. Call of Duty spoilers incoming. Watch out. Breach. So, all right. The story... I'll give you just some moments.
Okay.
Some examples.
Yep.
There's this guy... I forget his name, but he's like the terrorist villain.
Okay.
He thinks he's a freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you do in the game is kill the general who he then replaces.
Okay.
You're killing the number one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's the number two and rises to be the leader.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're tracking him down for a bunch of the game.
Okay.
You catch him.
Oh.
You catch him by going to a town, I believe in Mexico, because he's trying to smuggle missiles into the US, and you're shooting up a petrol station and a school and all these things from the air, destroying them in order to kill his men.
Mm-hmm.
And then you catch him, take him out into the desert, and they're like, we got to let him go, because international law says we got to let him go. You didn't fucking give a shit about it until now.
Yeah.
Even if it did, don't.
Yeah.
There's no way that international law says you're not allowed to take in this war criminal.
Yep.
I don't believe you. And if it is true, show me the document in this cutscene.
Yeah.
Because no fucking way.
Yeah.
And if you're suddenly going to abide by it now, then why weren't you a minute ago?
It's like that thing where people commented a lot on this in Xenoblade Chronicles 3. It's a very... Xenoblade Chronicles 3. It's a very JRPG thing.
I'm going to cut out where you said it right.
It's a very like JRPG thing to have like a boss fight where you know, it takes you ages and you're launching these devastating attacks and you get the health down to zero and the person dies. And then there's a cutscene where they're like, I'm actually fine.
Yeah.
And then they like, they run away and they like
you.
Kill, you know, they kill off one of your characters. It's like, why? But I just, why did I just do all of that?
It's
you were then going to like.
But it's not, it's all story.
Yeah.
Right. It's like not even like, oh, I'll make the concession that, you know, of course they had to have me play some of the game at some point. It's fucking weird because then you find out that this guy, General Shepard, who's an American general who's sending you on all these missions, is trying to cover up the fact that he accidentally lost these missiles that this terrorist cell has been able to get via some ultranationalist Russians.
Mm.
They sold them these missiles because they stole them from an American convoy.
Right.
The whole thing is him trying to cover up his fuck up. If he'd have killed that guy who you captured right then, fuck up covered.
Yeah,
it was in his interests to do it. And he breaks a ton of other international laws to try and cover up this fuck up. But at this point, he's like, damn it. It makes no fucking sense at all. It really made me mad because like, obviously, it's small, but they're putting so much importance on all these little things and like, we got to let him go. And all Price and stuff are like, why?
Mm.
And you could also then, this is the problem with this plot hole too, is you could have had him be in league with the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that would have made sense why he lost, in quotes, the missiles.
Yeah.
It would have made sense why he didn't want to kill his ally.
Yep.
But that's not even the fucking case.
Fuck.
Later on, you're working with this PMC, a private military company.
Uh-huh.
And you're Mexican Special Forces, and it's an American PMC, and you get back to your Mexican Special Forces base, and the PMC says, by the way, this base is ours now. The general in America said we could have it. Well, fucking, I thought that he didn't want to do international war crimes. He just gave away a Mexican base to a private company. And that like, it doesn't make it, because then they just start shooting at you. They destroy this Mexican town, like, killing the civilians horrifically. It's got, man, there's a bit in it. I forgot to say this. This isn't a spoiler. There's a part where you cross over the Mexican border as Mexican Special Forces. You're going into, like, a southern United States town, running through it, trying to capture this guy who's running away. And you go through people's houses, and the prompt is hold left trigger to de-escalate. Left trigger points your gun at a cunt.
Oh!
It literally says, point your gun at someone to de-escalate this situation. It's the fucking stupidest shit. It's so, so dumb in all those ways that, like, just aren't fun because they're not fun dumb. They're just like this annoying bad story you've written doesn't make internal sense.
Yeah.
The general be a fucking alien. I don't give a shit. Like, have anything ridiculous happen, but have it make sense that it was ridiculous for the whole time.
Mm.
Oh, fuck off. Anyway, I want to play the multiplayer.
Okay. Has it been well reviewed?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know if a lot of people are waiting for the full thing to launch to
play
the multiplayer first.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the single player on its own has possibly not been.
Mm.
I think the reception to it has been similar to my feelings about it, of like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
Go back to being a cop.
Mm.
And then quit that.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.